Good morning, everyone. If you would, take your Bible out and study with me this morning and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is where we'll be for the majority of our lesson. I invite you to open up your Bible and read along with us this morning. For those that are visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your presence. Good to meet new people, new family members. Hope everybody is enjoying their time together, and we hope to see you again if you're visiting in the area. And we thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you again. This is the first Sunday of a new month, so that means it's time for us to introduce a new scripture, a new theme, if you will, of which we here at Northwest that we want to focus our minds on for this month. Of course, this year, our theme is that we want to follow Jesus. In this month, we want to focus our attention on John chapter 6, verse 38, and we want to lead our minds in following Jesus how? This month, by submitting to God's will. John chapter 6. I want to set a little bit of a setting, if you will, before we get into this text, so that we understand and can get into our mind what it is that we're going to be reading this morning. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side, to the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. John chapter 6, this is Jesus preaching, teaching, healing around the Sea of Galilee, northern part of Israel. He's going to feed 5,000 in this chapter. After he feeds 5,000, he wants to have some time to himself. He sends his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it says in verse 17 that he goes to Capernaum. In Capernaum, there is where he is going to begin to teach and preach, telling the Jews who he is, what he's here for. I want you to think about those that are listening to the words of Jesus here in Capernaum, teaching in the synagogue in this place that you see behind me. These are normal people like you and me, hardworking Jews around this area that are looking for a Messiah, looking for a king. But there's a problem. The type of king that they are looking for is an earthly king. They're looking for another King David. Many people begin to follow him because of the deeds that he's doing. They want to see the things he's doing. They want to be fed, Jesus says. They want to see his miracles. And he tells them, you're following me for all of the wrong reasons. Perhaps they just want to see the miracles. Perhaps it's a little bit of sorcery. They want to see all the things that Jesus can do. And in the midst of all of this in John chapter 6, the context is this. Jesus begins to tell them that I am the living bread, that you should partake of my body, drink of my blood. And you can understand why these claims are a little hard to understand, it says in John chapter 6. Hard to understand, but of all the things that are a little bit hard to understand, there's one thing that sticks out in my mind that had to be extremely difficult to understand. Now, I wonder if sometimes in the scriptures, if we're so used to reading them, we're so used to understanding the things in the Gospels that it can't be a little bit diluted. But I want you to read here in verse 36, chapter 6, verse 38. I want you to read at what this claim is that Jesus is saying. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Again, I want to lead our minds in the importance of this claim. Again, I think for you and me, we have the freedom to pick up our Bibles and read them. And certainly many of us in the room this morning have read through John chapter 6 a multitude of times. And we know that Jesus came from heaven. And so it sounds plausible and understandable. And it doesn't seem that grand because we're so used to reading it. But it is grand. Jesus is the Son of God is what he's saying. He's saying, I have come down from heaven. Now think, if you're just a normal, hardworking Jew on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, what would you have thought when you heard Jesus say these things? You would have certainly thought to yourself, who does this man think he is? We read that they begin to grumble. They begin to say, is this not the son of Joseph? In verse 42. With that in mind this morning, I want you to think about that as we go through these things this morning. And we introduce this new topic and this new scripture. Think about what it would have sounded like for these men and women to hear these claims. Go with me in John chapter 6 and read with me, if you would, verses 32 through 40. 32 through 40. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Who does Jesus think he is? I want to remind us this morning who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. If we're going to take the time and spend a year talking about following Jesus, then to me, I need to take a step back this morning. If I'm going to somehow convince and encourage you to leave these four walls and go out into your normal lives and follow Jesus by submitting to God's will, then first, it only seems natural to me, especially with John chapter 6, to show you and remind you of how great God is and who Jesus Christ is and why we should follow him. So this morning, do not fear. I know that you're looking down and you see 5 points. They will be quick, but they will be strong because they're from the Word of God. I want to remind you of 5 basic claims that Jesus made of himself. 5 basic claims that Jesus said, I am deity. And when we get finished answering these questions, we will know the answer to why we should follow Jesus and why we should follow Jesus in submitting to the will of God. The first claim of deity I'd like us to look at is going back to verse 32. Look again at the words of Jesus. Truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. The first claim of deity that Jesus gives us in John chapter 6 is that he is the Son of God. Did you notice that? He said, my Father. My Father. What do you think they were thinking when they heard these words, my Father? What do you think about this morning? When you hear my Father, I want to ask you before we even get into this point, does that affect you in any way? Or have you just read it so many times that you understand He's the Son of God and you just continue with life? Brethren, when we read these words, I want to say that it should affect us in some way. To be in awe that the Son of God came down. Not only is He the Son, but Jesus Himself says that He and the Father are one. Sticking with me in John, look in chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 30 through 33. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Are one. Verse 31 says that the Jews were so angry that they picked up stones against Him to stone Him. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered Him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. But that's exactly who Jesus is. Why should we follow Jesus? Why should we do as He says? Because He and the Father are one. Now, a lot of people today look at the Scriptures and they say, that's just a claim by a man and it's not true and it cannot be proven. Jesus is not the only one that said, I am the Son of God. God confirmed it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, while He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, as Jesus is being transfigured, says, this is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, listen to Him. Jesus confirmed who He was. Look with me, if you would, in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. In the very days, hours before Jesus is going to be crucified, He's around the area of Jerusalem. Verse 27 of John chapter 12. My soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God answers from heaven, this is My Son. He is doing My will. Why should you want to follow Jesus? Because number one, He said He's the Son of God, and God confirmed it. A second claim of deity, going back to John chapter 6, is that He came down from heaven. In verse 38, our scripture for the month, He says, for I have come down from heaven. What kind of claim is that? Can you imagine somebody standing before you today, maybe in this pulpit, and say, I came from heaven? Can you imagine what they must have thought? But is it true? Is it true? Did Jesus come from heaven, or is this just the words of somebody wanting popularity and wanting people to follow Him around? Well, what do the Scriptures say? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In the very creation, God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Jesus did come from heaven because He's always been. Jesus has been there from the very beginning. Look with me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus is having an encounter with the Jews that are questioning Him. Verse 52. The Jews said to Him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps My word, he will never taste of death? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Here's Jesus' answer in verse 54. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do not know him and keep, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Verse 57, the Jews remark, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And again, in verse 59, they try to stone him. Jesus came down from heaven, is what he says. God confirms it when he says he was there from the beginning. Jesus says, I was there before Abraham. In the very beginning of John chapter 1, how does the entire chapter begin? It begins by talking about Jesus being there from the beginning. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. How can I stand before you today and encourage you to follow Jesus in submitting to God? Number one, because he is the Son of God. Number two, because he came from heaven. And number three, Jesus has the power to raise the dead. John chapter 6 and verse 39. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Who is this Jesus that claims that he can raise people from the dead? I'll tell you who he is. He's the Son of God, and he will raise us from the grave. Let us not be uninformed, brethren, as Paul says. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wants the Thessalonians to know something. He says, I do not want you to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and not have a full knowledge of the power of your Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, read with me verses 13 through 18. We do not want you to be an uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus' claim in John chapter 6 is that I can raise the dead. Paul confirms it, inspired by God, that that will happen. Why should we follow Jesus? Because nobody else has the power to raise you and me. We need to understand that there is only one that we have victory through. And we have that victory through Christ and through Christ alone. Not of ourselves, nothing of what we have done, but through Jesus Christ we can and we will conquer this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters within the New Testament. Paul writing here again, trying to make sure that the brethren understand what will happen in this day. Wants everybody to understand what Jesus means when he says that he will raise from the dead. He will raise others from the dead. Would you read with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I'd like to read verses 50 through 58. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when Jesus will return from heaven and He will judge every single one of us. And He will judge us according to our own deeds. So we must ask ourselves this morning, am I following Jesus? Am I following Him in the way that He desires? Because He can and He will raise us from the dead, and we will be judged. And according to that judgment, we will either be in the presence of God or cast out with Satan and his angels. Why should you this morning consider submitting to God's will as Jesus did in John 6:38, as it says? Because He can raise us from the grave. Not only can He raise us, He will not lose us. Chapter 6, verse 39. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing. Take comfort this morning, friends, that if you are in Christ, and if something were to happen to you and you pass away this year in 2016, and the judgment is not for another 200 years, God's not going to forget you. Jesus will not lose you. If you are in Christ, He will keep you until the day of judgment and will bring you into glory. If we do His will. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9 says that He, speaking of Jesus, became to all those. I want us to notice this morning, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about Jesus not losing people. Hebrews 5 9 says He became to all those who what? To all those who obey Him, the source of eternal salvation. People today look at John chapter 6 verse 39 and they say, see, Jesus will not lose you. There is no way that once you are a child of God, you can ever be cast away from Him. That's not true, brethren. It's just not scripturally true. What is true is that as long as we obey Him, He will not lose us. But we can choose to break the relationship like a divorce. And it would be on our heads for our actions. And we need to understand that. It is a misconception that once in your life you obeyed Jesus and that you can live the rest of the way out however you want. That's not what the Scripture says. It says He became salvation to you if you obey Him. Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven and has the power to raise a fourth claim of deity. It's not only will He raise you, He will give you eternal life. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. So I want to stay with the same theme that I just talked about. If Jesus is the one that can give you eternal life, then we better make sure that we're following He who can make that judgment. Nobody in this room can make the judgment of where we're going on that day. We get really caught up in wanting to please people on earth and wanting to obtain the shiny objects and the things in this life. Brethren, what we need to be focused on is He who can send us to heaven or to hell. And that is Jesus. He says He can give eternal life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." 32-33. "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Who are you following this morning? Jesus made a claim in Galilee to the Jews around Him that "I can give you eternal life." Now we have that recorded in the Gospels. We have the freedom to read this in our Scriptures. But we don't have the freedom to change the Scripture. Jesus is eternal life, but to those that faithfully follow Him to the end. Jesus says those very words to the church of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2. He tells them to be faithful until death, and then He will give them a crown of life. Why should you, brethren, consider putting off the desires of this flesh and following Jesus Christ? Because He's the one that can give you eternal life, but you must follow Him, like He said to the church of Smyrna, to the end. We can't take a break. We must remain faithful to the end. Let me give you a fifth claim of deity that Jesus makes of Himself to these Jews in Galilee. He tells them in verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." A lot of people make a lot of different claims going through here in commentaries, and what does this mean, and what is Jesus trying to say? Let me tell you what Jesus is trying to tell them in Galilee and what He's trying to tell us today. He's trying to tell us that He is the living God, the living Son of God. He's not an idol. We cannot make Him out of stone. He will not pass away. He cannot be crushed. He cannot be defeated. He is the Son of God. Just as Peter proclaims in Matthew 16:16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, not dead God, not idol. You are the one that came from heaven and the one that we should follow." Not only is His statement here trying to tell us that He's living, but look again in that verse 51. At the very end, He says, "And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus is saying that He's going to give Himself, His flesh, for you and for me. I have one more scripture for us, and that's our study this morning. So I want you to settle in. I want you to fold everything up. But I want you to hear this. Why should you and I follow Jesus? Why should we mold ourselves to the will of Him who sent me, as He says in verse 38? Because He's the Son of God. He is from heaven. He has the power to raise us, to give us eternal life. And He gave Himself for you and me. Look at this verse with me, if you would, in closing. Colossians chapter 1, 21-23. "Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death." That's what He just said. in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. If. Brethren, Jesus made a lot of claims to those Jews in Galilee. Every single one of them are true and should encourage us and remind us to follow the Son of God. Why should you follow Him? You should follow Him because He is who He says He is. And He said that He would mold Himself and He would follow the Father in heaven. So if my Savior can follow and mold Himself, even though all that He is, then so can I as His child. This morning I want to read in closing John chapter 3 verse 5 when Jesus answers Nicodemus. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." If you've not yet become a disciple of Jesus Christ, all you have to do is believe in Him, repent, turn away from your sins, and do as Jesus has said. You must be reborn of the Spirit and water, and that is being baptized into Christ. If we can help you with that this morning, we stand ready. If you are a child of God, remember who He is, who you follow, and that we must be steadfast to the end. If we can help you with any need, let us know as we stand and sing.
While we pray and while we plead, while we sing.